This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Welcome to the last hour of the Power Zone right here on Power 98.7. Nakalibitso ke Katlego Legodi. If you've just joined us, you're not lost. This is the space, the ultimate space. This is where you'll find yourself. And you find us here from midnight to 3 o'clock every weekday. And the show is the Power Zone. I told you guys that we're speaking money matters in this segment. And this is where Kabelo will be joining me in a moment. We're talking about making financially savvy choices in tertiary. The year is just upon us. People are making moves. They are registering at various institutions of higher learning. Most people now are going to be independent. You're no longer a matriculant. Or saying in the last hour or the previous hour that really there's no parent anymore that is having or giving you a curfew. So you are on your own. You are an adult now. And really, sometimes you have to make those tough choices. Sometimes you are swayed into making these choices because you're a liker of things, and then you find yourself really making bad choices around money. How can one really make savvy financial choices while in a tertiary? Kabelo, welcome to the show. Please tell our listeners, what's your designation?
Oh, Katlego. Google are ke liaison.
Liaison.
Potato, really.
I was like, what if someone is there at home and they're like, Mara, this boy keeps repeating this. And then he's saying it with so much confidence. And then Kitina, someone will switch her off. You know what I mean? So I wanted to get it right. So it's liaison.
No, yes, they say liaison, yes, liaison. Or liaison. Oh my gosh, whichever one. Now you're making me make a mistake.
I'm sorry, that wasn't my intention, Kabelo. It's a communication liaison at the Office of the Credit Ombuds. And we are here, of course, to talk about money issues. Kabelo, welcome to the show. Really, you can be an independent person just like that. You've passed your matric and then you find yourself really having to make financial choices. I was telling them in the previous hour that in my first year, I lost so much weight because I was used to being cooked for. So now I had to start cooking and the likes, you know, so it had to grow in a way that one really, when they're in matric, they didn't even envision the fact that you'll have to be cooking for yourself. You'll have to be making those decisions of what are we going to eat. Those choices were made for you when you were still in high school. But now you're in varsity, you have to make these choices. And some of those choices involve money, right? How does one actually find themselves faring well where issues of money are concerned? Often you hear people even approaching you just at the gate of the institution to say, yeah, you can qualify to open a Foschini account or whatever account, and then you know you will get 10% back or whatever, a reprieve of a month, and then you're not working, and then you just go and then you open that account, and then you find yourself in this situation. What are those things to look out for, especially where monies are concerned?
My goodness, I promise you, you gave me a bit of anxiety there, because even as adults, we still make those financial messes, really, when it comes to our finances. And I think that in all honesty, Neo, we put ourselves... Neo, I'm sorry, there's a Neo Lekhodi that I know. I'm so sorry. And the mistake that we actually make is the fact that we put ourselves under pressure. Now, imagine you're an 18-year-old from high school. It's all about being... It's all been about pressure when you're seeing your peers living a certain lifestyle and you're thinking, oh my goodness, I want this, I want this. And sometimes when you're even in high school, you would ask your parents for certain things and your parents would simply say, I just don't have the money for it. Now you're in tertiary and you think, you know what? I'm going to show them parents how it's done. Because now I've got my own money and they will either give me a monthly stipend, what you call, allowance. Yes, I was looking for that word. An allowance. They will give you an allowance. Now you're thinking, you know what? Now I can make financial decisions, and I will show them that with the money that they can give, they give me, I will also be able to enjoy myself. And that's where the mistake comes in, because right now it's even worse, because with the inflation and with the increase, I mean, today our governor, our beloved governor, again, is going to announce the increase, the interest rate increase, which is very scary. So now here you are, an 18-year-old, 19-year-old, and you have to fend for yourself. And obviously, with the pressure, you're thinking, if I take on credit, right, if I take that clothing account, because obviously most of them will come to you with clothing account because they understand that's what you want at that age. That's all you're thinking about. At that age, when it comes to credit, the only thing you know is the fact that I can get stuff, and then after that, pay for them later, but not really realizing what that impact is, what it actually means to have a credit, to have a clothing account, or to have credit. So you make these decisions based on the fact that I want to look a certain way, just like my peers, because I want to fit in, without taking into consideration the fact that you have taken on a huge responsibility of debt that you have to pay back, because you don't just go and take out a credit and then after that you buy clothes and then that's it. You actually need to pay your monthly installment. At that time, trust me, when I was 19, I did not even understand what credit was. So I can only imagine the mistakes that a 19-year-old with a clothing store account would make.
Yeah, no, most definitely. But then why do we find ourselves under these pressures? Is it because of the environment? Is it because we want to prove to our counterparts or our friends that we're also able to, you know, dress up this way? I can get a crop top as well, you know, and rock it because my friend next door has a pink crop top. I go and get a yellow one and I'm also in the game. Is it because of following trends? I want to use an iPhone because everyone is using an iPhone. Why do we find ourselves under so much pressure, especially when we are in varsity in our first year and really we left home innocent, we come back with a whole lot of this baggage?
I mean, I'm going to take us back, I think a few years ago, when a girl was accidentally given up, was it 4 million from Netflix? Yes. And the first thing girl did was the fact that she went and bought wigs. She went, basically, she was just serving her lifestyle. She was like, you know what? I've got this lifestyle that I've been dreaming of, and I am going for it. And at that age, that's exactly what it's all about. It's about, I want to show my friends that I have got the latest gadgets. I have got the latest fashion. I fit in. Imagine in high school. I remember when I was in high school, I was only 18. And it was so shocking to see how high school kids were driving cars. And cars that even teachers were not driving. And you're thinking, oh, flip, here I am walking to the taxi rank and my peers are driving their cars here. And my parents are so boring. They just don't understand that I need a car as well. And you are not considering the fact that you are not from the same home. You know, you guys do not have the same situation, and therefore you need to think carefully before you do certain things. So when it's now in tertiary, it's on a bigger scale. It's on a bigger scale because you've got people who are literally from homes where they are millionaires, and therefore they can afford this lifestyle that you wish you could have because you seriously want to fit in. So then now what do? You then go and make these bad financial situations. And unfortunately, sometimes, most of the time, when I actually come across the graduates, now I'm not even talking about the ones, the students that are still studying, but graduates, after they graduate, either they are looking for a job or they find their job. And now they want to actually take out credit and they cannot because of a decision that they made in tertiary. And now they can't buy a house or the car that they would like to have after they actually get a job. So it's quite sad how all of these things, all of these pressures, then eventually get to affect him later in life when they have to start living now.
Yeah, and then because you had not really learned about these spaces and what to do, and then you find yourself avoiding these calls from credit providers or whatever. whatever, from those lenders, those people that had you had opened an account with, and you're digging a deeper hole for yourself. How does one fare or navigate this space when really now I find myself having made that bad decision to have taken a loan, to have opened an account, and I can't pay back this money? Do you think they would understand if I tell them that, listen, I'm a student here. I know I said I'll give you guys 150 every month, but that 150 is not going to work for me. Can I give you 50 rand and then maybe we'll extend the terms of, you know, that loan or that agreement? Is it something that maybe one can consider? Is it something that one should, the approach that one should take when they find themselves now with a credit and they're only in their first year?
That is exactly what they need to do, because now, firstly, stop buying on credit. Okay, let's start there. The moment that you've already done that, do not go and say, now that you see that you've got a bit of credit and you want to go and make use of that credit. No. When you realize that, wait a minute, but I've already made the mistake and I can see that I cannot afford to pay the monthly installment of 150, as you said, you then go. You approach a credit provider, be honest with them. Because the main point, it's always been that way, even with credit, is the fact that you pay your account. The credit provider, that's what they want. And as a young person, making that decision, it's actually very responsible of you, because then you have actually looked at your budget. You have looked at the fact that, you know what, this is a bit too much for me, so I can no longer afford to pay. And then you approach a credit provider. Because when it comes to your credit score, it builds up as you grow. So what you want to do is the fact that as early as possible, then you make those arrangements, you pay off your account, and eventually you pay it off. And what we need to understand is that your credit score is, yes, based on the fact on your behavior. And if at all, then you have approached the credit provider, you will avoid being listed with a default, because then that's where it's gonna be headed if at all you do not make those arrangements. So you make the arrangement to avoid the default listing, to avoid the eventual judgment listing, because then at least it will just be a payment profile. And that way then, when you're ready to really build your credit score, then you can start properly and actually go and then get that clothing account that you know you will be able to manage, so that you can then push up your credit score. So it is very important that, yes, early on when you notice that, you know what, I think that I cannot cope, contact your credit provider. Do not run away from them. We should not, I think that young people should not learn from the mistakes that we have made in the past. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm already saying we have made. I'm that old. But the mistakes that we have made in the past of trying to avoid debt collectors, avoiding credit providers. When a credit provider first contacts you, understand that it is for them to try and hear you out, so that you guys can actually make that arrangement. So the moment that you get that call, pick it up, make an arrangement, and make a note of who you're talking to, make a note of how much you said you are going to pay. If you have to go in store and actually get it in writing, rather do that. Ask them to send you an email, but always get communication of that alternative agreement that you actually make with a credit provider.
Really, what are those shortcomings that one can find themselves in if maybe I discover sellers calling me every day, I'm blocking their number, I'm not going to answer, and then I'm only in my first year? Could we see this building up and me really struggling a bit to pick up the pieces after having graduated? Could this lead also to me maybe being placed in the red in terms of me going to knock for those further opportunities as I've graduated now?
Definitely. The last thing that you want is that, especially for students who are doing finance, is the fact that you go and apply for a job, they tell you that they do a credit check. And when you hear credit check, you trust me, sometimes you will not even understand what they are talking about when they say credit check. And you're thinking, oh, yeah, go ahead. Then they come back and tell you, yeah, you're a great candidate. However, you are listed at the credit bureau, and therefore we cannot give you this job. It is sad, because now you're thinking, oh my goodness, I could have had this job, but simply because of being listed at the credit bureaus, I cannot get this job. So do you understand that it the effects are huge? And that's why we need to be very careful when it comes to this. If you cannot afford to take out this credit, rather just say, I am not interested. It's that simple. Simply say you are not interested. Because another thing as well, if you're not, because with some people they might think, then I'm not doing anything in finance, so therefore it will not affect me. It will affect you the day that, fine, you get your job, you get employed, and now all of a sudden you're thinking, I am ready to buy that car. They look at your credit score and they're thinking, oh no, but girl, here we can see that you're not a person who usually pays their account, so you're a risk consumer, therefore we cannot give you this credit. Because let's remember, the use of credit is meant to aid. Credit is meant to assist. It's there so that you say that, okay, right now I cannot afford to buy something, but I can actually go and get credit so that then I pay the credit provider on a monthly basis. So it's there to aid us. It's there to help us. Let us not misuse it, because the moment that you misuse a credit and you do not even understand the implications, that's when it really does affect you. And in the long term, then where there will come a time when you really need to take out credit, and that's when it will affect you.
How long does it take for one to find themselves in the green and not the red? I had this credit. I'm a young one. I'm in my first year, and then I decide in my third year that I've been avoiding these people. I eventually come clean to my parents that I have a 4,000 rand debt with a particular lender and the likes, and then my parent, my dad or my mom decides that this is a lot. We are paying this. They pay it. Does that dent remain? How do I actually move on in a way that, when I apply for that house after having found a job, or I'm trying to buy a car, and there's this 4 or 5 years ago where, I had this credit and I was avoiding it. I was a student. Does that stay on your record? Or eventually as the years go by, that also, disappears, and you can be able to knock without that record still being there?
We need to remember that when it comes to your credit history, it remains for a period of 5 years after you have paid up your account. So let me say, for instance, yes, parents decide that we are going to pay it off. That means that the history and how you conducted the account will still remain in your credit profile for a period of 5 years. Having to come back to the green and now being a good credit provider, a good consumer, that would mean that now you have to either wait it out, or you will go and apply for another credit, and hopefully then a credit provider will give you that that credit. Then that's when you start now conducting or managing your accounts properly, so that they can see that you are a good payer, because it will push up your credit score. So yes, that mistake that you made is now over. Now you are ready, and now you are wise enough to actually say that I know that I need to pay my my monthly installment on time as well. It's very important when it comes to your credit. When it comes to your credit, pay on the time that you said you're going to pay. So if at all you agreed that I will make a payment on the 25th, make a payment on the 25th each and every single month. If you've agreed that you will make a payment of 500 rand each and every single month, pay 500 rand each and every single month. If you can pay more, rather do that. Just do not pay less. So that way it will push your credit score up, and eventually you will be able to then see the improvement in your credit score. Just do not go and leave it or think that, you know what, once I've paid it off, yes, it'll push up my score. It's all about payment behavior. So the moment that you pay off your account, you need to still be patient enough with yourself to say that, okay, I will take my time in ensuring that my credit score goes up. Because a good credit score also means that you are in a good position to negotiate when it comes to interest rates. And trust me, right now at this day and age, you need to know how to negotiate for a good interest rate. When you are a good consumer, you can actually do that. You have the upper hand when it comes to that.
Let's talk about those do's that can help one to not find themselves in the red. When I've seen something that I like, I've seen the yellow crop top that I like. My friend's boo has a pink crop top, and I feel like I need that crop top for me not to really now act impulsive and make that decision that would really hurt my credit profile in the long run. How does one wait it out? Do I need to maybe probably find an extra job, you know, so I can be able to finance all of these things that I like, or budget, save up as much as I can, and the likes, and avoid really joining the gym and all of these things that would put me in finances or financial difficulties that I was not ready for, that will result in a bad credit score. How does one better manage all of those urges to want to really live it up and
stay in your lane, you know? I say this as if it's very simple. It requires a lot of discipline. Yeah. I remember when I was younger, and my mom could see, this child of mine is a liker of things. Mm. And she simply said, you know, my child, fashion is not going anywhere. Mm. You will still be, you will be in your 30s and fashion will still be there. But right now where you are, when you are studying, this is your opportunity to put your best foot forward and focus on that. And as much as she didn't think it was like impactful, but it really was, because I was like, oh yeah, these things do not go away. And it's true. They do not go away. Yeah. Here we are in our 30s and groove is the thing now, you know,
groove is really the thing. Yeah.
And yes. And this is a time for you to now start learning about how to save, how to spend wisely. Sometimes it's a matter of saving and lay buying and then paying off whatever it is. You'd be surprised that sometimes your little crop top will not even cost that much. You can actually save up for 2 months and you can get your crop top there. It's you've got it done. So there's no need for you to actually go and buy a 50 rand crop top and then end up paying like 80 rand for it, because that's what happens when you actually take out credit. You're not going to buy it for the price that it would for the cash price that it's actually worth. So that's what the decisions that we need to make. If it means that attending a class that teaches about financial education or anything like that, rather do that. So that you know how to budget. By the time you're like ready to get into the workplace, you're starting to work and everything, you will be such a responsible consumer and a responsible adult. Like, I promise you, it will be the best thing that you've ever done for yourself. Mm-hmm. So right now, it is a matter of, remember, stay in your lane. Do not compare yourself. That is the last thing you should ever do. We learned it very late in life. Yeah. But hey, now that we know, we really know how to stay in our lane. We're like, okay, yeah, no, it's fine. You guys can go out. But I know when you, and also, we do vision boards these days. Yeah. Vision boards are the thing these days. Mm-hmm. So do a vision board for yourself and tell yourself, okay, what is it that I, as Kabelo, want? Not what does Katoho want, or what does the one you want? No, what does Kabelo want, and how does Kabelo get to where they want? When you have goals, then you know exactly that for me to reach my goal, I need to plan better. And for me to plan better, that means I need to do better. So I need to actually start doing the 1, 2, 3 instead of doing that and that. And that will give you the focus that you need.
Yeah, Kabelo, Benny is calling us from Richards Bay. He also wants to engage in this topic. I know he's a young person. So he'll just join us in a moment to just more or less reflect and pose this question, give us his experience. But if you are like Benny, you want to engage us, you're welcome to do so on 0861-987-000. We are wrapping up our conversation with Kabelo. But then I felt like before we do that, let's bring in Benny, who has called us from Richards Bay. Benny?
Morning and morning to your guest. Yeah.
Good morning, sir.
Just a quick one. Here she's talking about us as consumers, you know. So, but the challenge is this: that I've managed to realize with those credit providers, like those bureau, the credit bureau. Here is it. We talk about XDS. We talk about ComScan or Experian. The challenge is this. they don't answer their calls. And when they don't take our calls, it makes the big challenge, and it makes us life difficult because of if I write an email, Katleho will receive an email. And then when I make a follow-up and then Kabelo is on that email, meaning this thing, the communication is no longer based on what I wanted to know initially. So, and it's not everything that we can finish with emails. We want to know because their phones, they ring. You can call from 8 o'clock in the morning until 9 o'clock. They will never answer their calls. I don't know who can assist us because that thing is being rude and that thing is being unprofessionally and that thing is not being fair for us because sometimes we need to engage face-to-face physically. Is it any organization? Is it anything that can be done? Because I think they must be all accountable. Not everything can be settled over the cell phone, the emails. We need to talk with them face-to-face. Now we are talking as us. Because one I see in this about Credit Bureau, the blame is more to consumers, it's more to us than even for them, the way they present things. That thing for them not answering their calls at all. Why should they have the telephones if they know they cannot be able to answer their team?
All right.
I don't know if you get my question very well.
Yes, it seems as if they are pushing you intentionally in the red, all right, and not helping you to get out of this debt and this challenge that you find yourself in. That is what I'm getting from you. I don't know if I'm twisting your words here because you're saying they're not as accessible as you would like them to be when you want to maybe, you know, negotiate, settle and come into an arrangement with them. Am I right, Benny?
Yeah, that's correct.
All right. Benny, thank you very much. I'm going to let you go. And then Kabelo would wrap it up for us over the phone. Benny, calling us from Richards Bay. Thank you very much. Kabelo, are they intentionally pushing us in the red? And what could be the recourse then when one finds themselves in this situation to say, I want to be a good consumer. I want to be someone that pays or is up to date. But I'm struggling here. I'm trying by all means to reach out to say that, hey, listen, as much as I promised that I'd pay R1,000 every month, can we please take it down to 250 because I've lost my job or I'm not, in a good position now like I was last year to continue with this obligation? Could there be a recourse to what Benny has raised here?
No, I mean, I understand the frustration. And I mean, when it comes to that, there is definitely a recourse. I mean, what we do usually as the Credit Ombud Office is that if a consumer does call us disgruntled and saying that I'm trying to get a hold of the credit bureaus and I've sent numerous communication, but nobody's getting back to me, then we will play then that middleman to say that, you know what, send us your initial email so that we can then correspond with the credit bureaus and send them your email. And then eventually they will then get back to you. It ideally, it's not supposed to work like that. And I'm certain that they sometimes are not aware if they may perhaps even be having issues. They might be having issues when it comes to their lines. But there is also either the regulator, the National Credit Regulator, or even the Credit Bureau Association that you could call to tell them about your concerns. If at all you find that indeed it is an ongoing situation with the credit bureau, with a specific credit bureau, then you can contact the Credit Bureau Association or the National Credit Regulator and raise these points to say that we are trying to get a hold of the credit bureaus, but each and every single time we try to do so, these are the problems that we come across. So it is definitely something that can be raised and can be fixed with the help of the Credit Bureau Association or the National Credit Regulator. But as I said, consumers are welcome to contact our office as well. If at all they are really struggling, just send us an email or call us. We will tell you what it is that you need to do. We will forward that message to the credit bureaus so that they can contact you ASAP.
Yeah, remind our listeners of those details. Where do they go to when they want to approach the credit ombuds? What is that email? What are those numbers? Maybe Benny wants to, you know, ask further for clarity here for the sake of time.
No, definitely. Our email address is ombud@creditombud.com. www.org.za, or you can contact our office on 0861-662-837. We also have a free SMS line if at all you want us to call you back, which is 44786. So he's welcome to just call us or send us an email, and we'll definitely be of assistance.
All right. Kabelo Tume is the communications liaison.
Say it now.
At the office of the credit ombud.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.